Minnesota, you have been stripped of the title of State of Hockey. I now dub thee the State of Football.
It's a sportscast.
Listening to the Northeast Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim. How are you guys?
Wow.
I'm really enjoying my creative choices.
I don't know why you went with like
the high-pitched weird one.
Medieval witch.
Yeah.
But that's what it came across as.
I think it's because I watched Monty Python and the Holy Grail and they all talk like that.
Yeah. Well, they really do.
Yeah.
No, it's the truth. It was a great weekend in sports here in Minnesota where both the Vikings and the Gophers got huge wins. So
big.
Huge. Big time State of Football.
Yeah.
I think that's us now.
It's more fun anyways.
It is more fun and people care more.
Yep.
Yeah. So here we go. We have a great sports cast. This one is packed full of good stuff. But before we get to it, we need you guys, the listeners, to give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Northeast Podcast. Also, subscribe on podcast app Podbean, iTunes, anywhere you get your favorite podcast from. Get the Northeast Podcast directly to your phone every single week.
Do it.
We have a screencast coming later this week as well, so check that out. Hopefully you guys have been listening lately because we've been giving you guys some awesome content. Northeast Podcast coming to you twice a week for free for all of 2019.
What a deal.
It is a great deal. All right, guys, so here we go. We're hopping into this sportscast. Before we do, we have a great beer in front of us, a big one. We're really excited about this one. What are we drinking, guys?
This is the Promise Ring. Double dry hopped, double IPA coming to you from probably two of our favorites.
A couple that are up there.
Top five, Blackstack and Junkyard Collaboration.
Kind of ridiculous to put those together.
Well, that's why it's 8.6 ABV, because they're going to go.
I'm sure it was expensive as shit.
It wasn't that bad, I don't think. I think it was like $16.99.
Which... Two years expensive. Ago, we would have been like, that's the most expensive beer we've ever seen.
Yeah, but I think for big releases, it's not so terrible. Mm-hmm. It tastes like juice.
I love juice.
No, I do too.
It's really, really tasty.
It's a great beer. Yeah. Like, it's one of my favorite beers that we've had this year.
Damn.
And yeah, it tastes like juice to me.
This is going on the short list for me for beer of the year.
After one sip?
Yeah. When you know, my friend.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think they nailed it. So bravo to these guys. We'll come back in a little bit and tell you if you know, we're still wearing the Promise Ring.
Wow. It's really good.
After one sip, Ryan.
Power suggestion, you know? Yeah, I don't want to sound like an idiot.
All right, that's here true. We go, guys. We're going to start it with the pregame warm-up. Jim, what do you have for us today?
So this is a would-you-rather scenario,
ooh,
but I want you guys to take it seriously. And think about this and provide a real answer, okay?
I don't think I've ever taken a would-you-rather scenario seriously, but I'm going to try.
Deadly serious. So, would you rather watch an entire Wild hockey game by yourself, no phones or tablets allowed? Okay. You actually have to watch it.
Okay.
No booze.
Do I have to watch the commercials?
Yes.
Okay.
But mostly the game. Or punch yourself square in the dick.
One time?
One punch.
Is there a how hard?
You got to make it count.
I think I'd rather punch myself. the NHL kind of sucks, honestly.
It'd be really boring. This scenario that I'm describing, like, I don't watch anything without my phone next to me, so like that already is a big deal.
And then you said no booze.
I know.
That's a double. I think I'd rather punch
myself.
You just
get the punch out the way.
Yeah.
And then I'd like go have a beer.
Yeah. Then you can do it. Then you're back to your life.
I'll put one can down on myself. And then I'll drink another one. You know what I mean? Like, I got it iced down.
Just ice
and
it up.
I got a beer to numb it.
So and then you can do whatever you want.
I think the big thing is that...
Then you can change the channel.
Exactly.
The NHL is a pretty bad product when you're not there.
That's part of it.
The NHL is really good in person. Playoff hockey is like as good as sports gets.
Top notch.
But the regular season is kind of unbearable.
Like punch yourself in the dick.
It actually is. And I wouldn't have said that a few years ago. Maybe it's just because the Wild are not the team that they were a few years ago. And I'm feeling hopeless when it comes to my NHL franchise.
But you're not. This is what you wanted.
They're not bad enough.
I think they won this weekend, one or two.
Too many times. Every time they win, I'm like, what are they fucking doing? But it's like the Dolphins.
It's early
idiots.
Enough, and they haven't sustained a lot of injuries. So once the injuries start piling up, then I think they're going to really fall off the cart.
Yeah, and like the fact that like the only prospect we have can't come here.
Plays for Putin's team.
He literally can't come here this year, so the hope is low. So there you go. I'm going with the punch in the dick.
I'm taking it as well.
All right, guys, so here we go. We're hopping right into the sports cast, and we're going into today's starting lineup, where we start with the Minnesota Golden Gophers with a national audience.
Did they have a game this weekend?
All the bright lights on them. Even though they had to play at 11 o'clock and didn't get game day, they played against number 4 Penn State in what I believe is the biggest game in the history of Golden Gopher football.
At least since like 1940.
Yeah, yeah. And to me, it's bigger because how many people were able to watch them on television in 1940? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just sports are such a big deal at this point. I think it's the biggest game in the history of the team. And they came out, they led from bell to bell and had an incredibly big and important win in this era of PJ Fleck. They moved to 9-0, and it will be interesting. Today, the day you're listening to it, hopefully, is Tuesday, is the day that the committee, the College Football Playoff Committee, will be announcing their most recent rankings, and it'll be interesting to see where they go. So we'll come back to the Gophers in a little bit, but a big old win to move to 9-0.
Crazy.
Huge.
All right, starting at the other guard spot, we're going to have the Minnesota Vikings also getting a big win. They win 28-24 in Dallas against America's team at Jerry World, and Kirk Cousins gets a win over a team with a winning record in primetime.
So the curse is broken, and that's all in the rearview mirror?
I think so.
I don't know, yeah.
He looked really sharp, too.
Yeah, he looked pretty good.
He looked dialed in.
We'll come back to the Vikings again, but Minnesotans are people who, we're like masochists. Like, we like enjoy sports pain sometimes, and we just need to embrace the fact that Cousins is a good quarterback.
I want to.
Everyone needs to realize it. He is a good quarterback, end of story.
Okay. The difference, real quick, the difference between Cousins and some of the top-tier quarterbacks is when Cousins has a bad game, they say, well, that's just Kirk, he's not very good, whereas like a quarterback that is a little bit more established in big wins, they make excuses if they have a bad game. Well, his center was out. Yeah, the running game wasn't going, you know, whatever.
Yes.
His receiver was hurt.
God, I've heard those ones so many times.
There were six drops, or, you know, the receivers weren't running good routes, and they make excuses for the good ones, where their Cousins is like, nope, he's just bad.
Yeah.
So you definitely notice a different narrative.
If it was, you know, A-Rod, you'd have been like, well, his number one receiver was out in Thielen and... You know, we've heard that before.
Right.
All right, next up, starting at, it doesn't even get a position. Starting at positionless, because it's just so stupid.
Goalie.
Logan Paul was in a boxing match. If you guys know Logan and Jake Paul, the Paul brothers, they are the worst
thing to happen to YouTube ever, I think.
Yeah. Just YouTube. It kind of changed it for the worst, because they are that influential, unfortunately. Yeah.
They were just like, we're going to burn things today. We're going to turn our friend into a piñata. And by the way, those were actual things that they did.
You could have made them up and I would have believed
it. No, those were real. Those were actual. They like burned a bed in the road.
And then they filmed a dead guy in Japan.
Ooh, they did do that.
So that hurt
his
image just a bit. But really,
I had to apologize and be like, suicide's bad.
But
I'm glad
I
did that.
That was pretty dope footage.
What about those views? So one of them, Logan, don't know the difference really. Logan had his second boxing match, which is a rematch against another YouTuber named KSI.
I'm assuming Douchey as well.
I don't know him. He's a YouTuber.
He's British, I think.
Okay.
He's from the UK.
I don't know anything about him, but my favorite thing is that KSI...
You're probably related to him.
Well, he's black.
As a brotherhood of British.
So KSI's boxing coach, he has a boxing coach. I mean, he's probably super wealthy because he's a YouTuber. KSI's boxing coach, they asked him about him, and he said, well, he's not actually a real boxer.
Yeah.
He's been training for like a long time. This is his second fight. And the craziest thing is, it was at the Staples Center, I believe, in
like
LA.
A huge pay-per-view deal.
It was a pay-per-view. There was like a world champion in the co-main event, and these fucking asshole guys from YouTube were the main event.
And
KSI won in a split decision.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people think that Logan Paul should have won, but he was deducted points for like cheap shots. He was like holding the back of KSI's head and punching him in the face. So yeah, okay. He was deducted at least 1 or 2 points.
I'll say this. I'm disappointed because I feel like the world would have been a better place if KSI had turned Jake Paul into a vegetable.
But ooh. How do we know that KSI is not the same?
Is it Logan Paul?
Logan
Paul. If he'd have turned him into a vegetable, I think America would be better off.
Yeah. Maybe KSI is just as bad. I don't know.
I think KSI is mostly a video gamer.
Because I don't know who KSI is, I'm going to just
Team KSI.
Assume he has to be better than the Paul brothers.
So I really think KSI, I've seen a few of his videos back in the day. He's a video game player.
Were you a subscriber?
I was not.
Okay.
But I've seen a few of his videos like 10 years ago. He played, at least at the time, he played video games. Logan Paul has been just a vlogger, antichrist, yeah. You know what I mean? Like cancer of society with his teenage.
These guys
audience.
Have the same name recognition as LeBron James among people
young
under
people.
24.
Yeah.
And which is crazy.
Anyway,
like PewDiePie.
We spent way too much
we
time.
We have. You're right. We're giving him more attention than he deserves.
Well, turn him into a vegetable next time, and I'll be a subscriber for KSI's YouTube channel for life.
This is what I would say. There was a thing recently that was the jobs that people want. The Chinese children, the number one job they want, their dream job is
professional video gamer.
Is astronaut.
Oh.
And the number one dream job of U.S. kids is YouTuber.
That's a problem. Well, if they had YouTube in China, that might be part of it.
Yeah, true. All right. Next up, we have the MLS MLS Cup. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Now? The Cup.
Yeah.
Seattle Sounders beat the Toronto Raptors. Toronto FC.
Yeah.
Toronto
Football Club. Do we care?
Football Club.
Oh, man. Is this a do we care?
I don't care. I didn't watch it. It was on. I could have watched it.
It was a very big sports Sunday.
My brother went to the match. Fair.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't want to watch it because I don't like MLS very much. And here's the thing. I don't know a single player that plays for either team.
I know Michael Bradley plays for Toronto.
And he's bad.
And he probably shouldn't play.
Yeah. Which is,
or if he did play, that's probably why they lost.
Yeah. I don't care. Let's move on.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Next up, Dion Waiters. He was the fourth pick in the draft a few
Waiters
years
Island!
Ago. He was the fourth pick in the draft, I believe. The first pick was it the year that Anthony Bennett was the first pick?
I think so.
Or was it the year that Kyrie was the first pick? I think it was the Kyrie year.
Oh, okay.
I think it was Kyrie went one to them, and then fourth they had Waiters. And he's been a disappointment,
but he's a
steady pro.
He's fine. He's serviceable. Like he would definitely start on our team.
He's like a fine pro player. He, after a game, and they're good, by the way. The Heat are pretty good.
I know. They're like 6 in the power rankings or 7 or something.
He got on a plane and I can only assume took a hefty amount of edibles.
Like THC edibles.
I'm going to guess he took a lot.
I would think so. Or he just doesn't do that often and took a normal amount.
He plays in the NBA. He took a lot.
Okay. I mean, that's what I think too.
Like, let's be serious. I think he took too much and then was just trying to like be super messed up on the plane, and instead he passed out, and then when he woke up he had a seizure.
He had a panic attack.
And now he's
I don't think he had a seizure.
And now he's suspended for 10 games.
Yeah. After he already was suspended for like behavior detrimental to the team, if you ever heard that one. Because he was talking shit about, you know, nobody likes me and I'm, you know, this team is going to suck if I don't get more attention or whatever.
I was thinking about it. I just feel like this is how, like, the NBA is fine with its players smoking, taking edibles.
Apparently.
I think it is. Which is great. And it should be. And honestly, the fact that, like, pain medication is so abused by pro athletes, especially football players.
Or not even abused, but it's like very addictive, and so they take it without realizing that they're getting addicted.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a must that these guys are allowed to have the option to use marijuana as a medicine, a healing, a pain medication, whatever.
Well, and also, like, why would people that play for the Nuggets or the Bullets, what's the Washington team, the Wizards, be able to use that stuff, but other teams can't, right? So the NBA has probably just decided, we're going to look the other way.
Yeah, we're not.
We're not going to enforce it.
Yeah, so that would make sense.
So
it's
he
legal
obviously
for them.
Was using, and everyone knows it. And he wasn't suspended by the NBA. He was suspended
by the team.
By the team. Because the team was like, dude, are you fucking kidding me? Handle your shit.
Yeah. Well, they almost had to ground the plane and shit.
Yeah.
Because nobody knew he took it. So it was like a whole thing.
Yeah.
We've all known people that have freaked out.
Yeah.
And that was a freak out.
It's like that video that was kind of circulating where it's like, these edibles ain't shit. And then it shows a dude like with a lawnmower on his roof.
Yeah,
like,
20 minutes later. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, let's move on to one last topic here in our starting lineup. The center of the starting lineup is going to be our small forward, Andrew Wiggins, who has really turned it around. I think Jimbo was right to think he was going to improve. I still think he'll be wrong that he'll be an all-star this year.
Got to stick with it. He's going to continue to improve.
But he obviously has heard the criticism loud and clear, and he has really tuned up his game. He is a different guy this year. He still isn't very efficient, and he shoots way too many shots. Mm-hmm. I'm not acting like he's a superstar player by any means, but he is a serious weapon, especially in crunch time, because there are very few people who can stop him from getting to the rim. He can create shots out of anything. He's athletic enough to create a chance pretty much anytime he really wants to.
Yeah.
He seems a little more dialed in this year. He's rebounding the ball better. He's moving the ball in the offense
better.
He's
getting like 6 or 7 assists, so he's thinking about the game larger than himself.
Yeah. It looks really nice, honestly. Yeah.
He's actually helping the team, I think, as opposed to being like, yeah, I mean, he sometimes puts up 30 points, but we lose those games. You know what I mean?
Well,
I think
last
year he's changed.
Last year, there were times where he was an absolute, objectively a liability on the court the Wolves. And now you're like, okay, he's a decent third option, second option, depending on how things are going.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming Kat's not suspended for "quote unquote fighting,"
yeah.
So
slash getting attacked,
yeah. So I think I alluded to this before we started recording. I don't think there's any reason to reject the correlation between Ryan Saunders' coaching style versus Tom Thibodeau's. Yeah. I think Tibbs was the absolute wrong coach for a guy like Wiggins, who's a little more passive. He's a little sensitive. He's not very emotional, but I think he does take all of that in.
He internalizes a lot.
Yeah. So like when he's getting screamed at all the time about his defense, Wiggins is like, I'm not here to play defense, man. And so Saunders has just said, dude, you do you. We're going to get you more involved. And we want to build that confidence up slowly but surely. So I'm hoping that as time goes on, like maybe Jimbo's assessment isn't that far off, that he still has the potential to get better throughout the remainder of the season, once maybe the like offensive pieces and the flows and the system that they really truly want to run late in the season kind of comes to fruition.
So one quick thing to add before we move on. So Ryan, you had said that you think it might be Ryan Saunders has a big impact here. And then Eric, you said he thought he maybe heard the criticism finally. I think he has been hearing the criticism. That's all he's ever heard.
Yes.
I mean, literally since he came in and was traded immediately and then came in and was kind of had a lot of hype, and then it's been all criticism. So I don't think it's the criticism that got to him. I think it's the coaching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He feels motivated in a new way.
But I mean, these NBA guys, how many times have they been caught? Even guys like Durant get caught for having like burner accounts where they're like commenting about themselves on Twitter. Like, you think it's just him. Like, everyone's like, oh my God, is Durant crazy? No, it's just like so many celebrities are doing that exact same thing. If you think they aren't, you're lying to yourself. These guys hear all of the criticism. They read all the articles about themselves. They listen to everything. And for every time that they tell you that they don't listen to the media, that's insane. It's like you saying you don't listen to what's going on.
Right.
Everyone does. They know what they know about themselves and what people are saying more than anybody else in the world does. So he heard all of that, and you can see that he went to the gym all summer and he tightened up a lot of the big problems they had. So
it's a combination.
It's great. I'm really excited about it. If he can be even 80% of the player we were hoping we got with him, he is Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, it's a win. Yeah. It's a win for the Wolves.
He can be
sure.
The 40th best player in the league. That would be huge for us.
He's Carmelo Anthony, though.
Yeah.
Just like an inefficient guy who scores like 29 points a game. Which it can get worse than that.
Oh, yeah.
That's, there's a spot in the NBA for that.
I think we would have taken like Pete Carmelo on this team, though.
For sure.
Like 100%.
For sure.
So if you're getting close to that, that's fine. That's fine.
All right, guys. It's time to move on to the main event. And every week, it's been the Minnesota Vikings. But this week, it has to be the Minnesota Golden Gophers football team. You can't have the biggest win in program history and not be our top spot this week. So the Minnesota Gophers play an 11 o'clock game on primetime on television, or not primetime, but on national television against the number 4 team in the country, the Penn State Nittany Lions. And they score right away on a long touchdown to Bateman, and they hang on to win. It got a little tight at the very end, but they hang on to win, what, 31-26 was the final, I believe. They moved to 9-0. And this is by far the biggest win that we've ever seen from the Gophers in maybe any sport.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
I'm trying to go back through the Rolodex.
I'm thinking...
Maybe the Penn
Final
State...
Final Four basketball team getting up in there.
Doesn't count.
Well, it counts in my heart.
It and never happens.
You're right.
It never happened.
Right.
No. You're right. Final Four Gopher stuff is cool.
That was pretty crazy. Winning the game in the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four was pretty fucking wild.
I think, you know, and you could say like when we knocked off Penn State at Happy Valley and we won 17-16 or whatever on that last second field goal. But the stakes weren't as high because we weren't undefeated at the time.
We were an okay team that year.
It was a big win, and it was cool for the program, but it also didn't put us to 9-0.
Right.
You know, that would have been a completely different animal. So I think as far as we're concerned, being 8-0, you're not expected to win. You know it's going to be a tough game. You're playing the number 4 team and like literally like the number 1 defense in the Big Ten, I guess, other than Ohio State, because they've played a bunch of cupcakes. But one of the number 1 like yardage scoring, like all of the defensive stats and analytics, Penn State was up there, and their defensive line, and it showed in the fourth quarter. Their D-line was coming after Tanner Morgan. And like Eric said in the open, wire to wire, like our offense didn't slow down. Like we came out and we weren't afraid of them. We had a lot of cool, creative play calling when it mattered. We converted a lot of third downs, like the little like quick bubble screens and quick passing, like just neutralized their D line. They couldn't get to Tanner Morgan. Our running game was doing enough to keep them on their toes. And the defense played marginally well in the first three quarters, I would say, like kind of kept them at bay. And then the fourth quarter kind of got away from us because we got a lot more conservative on both sides of the ball. But overall, a phenomenal game plan, phenomenal execution, and it was unbelievably incredible to watch. I mean, we intercepted them, what, on their second play from scrimmage?
Yeah.
Or something like that on that deep ball. Nobody expected that. So really just outstanding across the board.
Yeah, three picks on that dude.
So Tanner Morgan was the difference in this game.
Yeah.
He was
1,000%.
He was fantastic.
What were his completion, like 18 for 20?
18 for 20 for 200 and some yards.
325
yards and three touchdowns. Yeah. No
picks. Yeah.
He was the difference in the game. He was fantastic.
I don't think he had an incompletion until the fourth quarter or something like that.
He was late in the third. So efficient.
It shows how good our fucking receivers are too.
Yeah, and honestly, I think the other thing is that the O and D line were really good in this game. The defensive line from Penn State is one of the best in the country. They were missing one of their starters because he spit in a guy's face in the last game. But still, I mean, this was a big-time D line, one of the very top ones in all of America. And I thought our huge O line really gave them a hard time, really beat them up, and made it so that RPO was so effective. They really had to respect every time we ran play action, and they ran that play action to slants over and over and over and over, RPO like, slants.
If you're not going to stop it, we're just going to keep going to it.
And their thing is for all the credit that Morgan deserves, his two receivers, Johnson and Bateman.
And Ottman Bell had a few big catches too.
Is really good, but Bateman and Johnson are pro receivers. Johnson is going to go in the top two rounds this year. He's a stud. He's an absolute stud.
He's huge too. He's like bigger than you think.
He's great. And then on top of that, you have Bateman, who had a career game over 200 yards. Pretty much every single route he ran, he was all alone. He was destroying the D-backs.
What was his yards per, like, average yards per catch?
Like, he had like 7 for 200. Yeah. So I mean, he had like almost 30 yards a catch for you know, a couple of really, really, really long ones. Yeah, so I mean, that the passing game was great. Rodney Smith was good. Shannon Brooks tried to give the game back with a really, really brutal, costly fumble. But you want to know what's crazy to me? The Gophers have NFL players on their team for the first time in like 20 years.
Yeah.
Other than onesie twosie O lineman or a tight end here.
I mean like guys who should be exciting prospects in the draft.
Yeah.
Johnson is going to be this year. Next year you'll probably get Bateman and Winfield Jr. Coughlin is going to be a guy this year. He'll probably go in the first, you know, 3-4 rounds. Tanner Morgan to me looks like he's a career backup.
Yeah, but like also looks like a guy who is like a better version of Case Keenum. You know
he
what
looks
I mean?
Like Case Keenum to me.
He could. I think he has a better arm than Keenum, though. Like, yeah. I think he throws a better ball than Keenum does.
But I just think he looks like he's going to be like a backup in the NFL for 8 years
but
or
like
something.
Smart, cerebral guy. Yeah. Doesn't lose you the games. Knows exactly what to do. He can coach, you know, younger players on how to. He'll learn the playbook in like 3 days.
Yeah, he looks really good.
Yeah, very competent.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's really exciting to watch a team like that and have some exciting players on the field. Now you have to think about this. Last week, they were the most disrespected team I've ever seen in my life. 8-0, ranked 17th by the committee. They beat the number 4 team. They have to jump almost everybody.
Well, they're up to 7.
I saw them at 4 on CBS.
But those are the committee rankings come out tomorrow. On Tuesday when you're listening to it, guys. They're the rankings that everyone goes by. Mm-hmm. In the AP poll, we went up to 7. We should jump everybody except for the top 5 teams.
Okay.
We should jump everyone.
We should be 6.
I think we should be 6th. That's the most fair spot. Baylor is also undefeated. They're struggling to win every single game, and they're going to lose this week to Oklahoma.
Well, I think they had a horrible performance against a
TCU.
Bad TCU team. So yep. They might get, you know, dinged for that a little bit.
Oregon and Utah are both 1-loss teams in the top 10. Neither of them have beat a ranked team all year, so I'm not worried about them. This is a huge win. We should jump way up, somewhere between 4 and 7, I would say, is a fair spot for the Gophers to go. We will see how much respect they are.
I mean, definitely not 4. Yeah. But I think 6 is the right call.
6 is the right call. They should be 6.
6 is the right number.
6 is where they should end up. I'm going to guess they end up in 9th.
Probably. You know why? Because
Penn State at 8.
No. Because they look at that stuff of like the committee would rather take a 2-loss Alabama team than let's say we beat Ohio State. Like, we run the table and we beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
Which would be miraculous, right? They were like, I guarantee the committee would say, well, Alabama's a better team, even though they have 2 losses, and we'd rather have them in the playoff. Yeah. Like, okay, well, then this whole fucking sham is just about money.
Yeah.
And we know it's not, and you're trying to, or we know that it is, and you're trying to pretend that it's not. So that's the only thing that worries me, is like, even if we ran the table, or hell, even if we gave Ohio State like the game of their life, we lost by 1 on some miracle play, we're 1,000% eliminated. Mm-hmm. Over a 2-loss Alabama team, and they would be in over us.
My favorite thing that I heard all week was someone said, how are the Gophers at 17? If Notre Dame played the same schedule and was undefeated, they'd be ranked 3rd or 4th.
Yeah.
And I was like, absolutely.
100%.
If they had the same numbers and everything was the same, Notre Dame would be ranked like 3rd in the nation
but
right now.
But to be fair, Notre Dame has been in the college football playoff.
And got beat by like 50.
Sure, but they got
there.
Because
they don't deserve to be there.
No, but they got there. And I know they have their stupid independent conference or whatever where they play Army and Air Force and all these bullshit teams. But we also play bullshit teams too, and we almost lost to 3 of them.
Oh, they only play Army and Air Force because they choose to.
I understand. And that's what I'm saying, is that Notre Dame has at least a little bit of clout in terms of the college game. In terms of like recency, right? we have not been a competitive program for since Glenn Mason left.
Yeah.
And you
like literally relevant nationally last year.
I guess a little bit with Kill, but that was also very short lived, right? We had a cup of coffee where we were like talked about.
Nobody cared about us.
But we never won any big games really either. So
I am hoping that the Gophers are ranked like 13th this week going into Iowa so they can play the disrespect card yet again. The cult of PJ Fleck is in full motion. If you guys listen to him, he is like a cult leader. Mm-hmm. But he has his guys, they would run through walls for him. And that is the sign of a great coach. He does all kinds of crazy shit, and every person that's over 45 hates him so much.
You know what his audience is? Literal children.
It is, and he's great with them.
Dr. Seuss doesn't write books for adults. He does. He's talking to kids, man. They buy into it. They love it. Like, he's trying to motivate kids.
Well, and not only that.
So as a cynical fucking old 55-year-old man who hates the world and is twice divorced, yeah, you might not get into the PJ Fleck vibe.
My favorite Fleck thing this week is Fleck has the baseball bat that they bring everywhere. Have you seen this?
Is that for beating up haters or what?
So the baseball bat, every week, every time they win a game, they add a donut to the baseball bat, right? One of those batting donuts, like the weighted.
Yeah.
And so, like, in the batter's box of a baseball game, guys have these donuts on their bat when they're doing their practice swings, mm-hmm. and then they take it off, so when they go up to the plate, the bat feels lighter, super light and fast.
Heard of the concept.
So they put these donuts on, and they put the team name that they beat and the score on the bat. And throughout the week, the team all has to swing the bat. And when they're 9-0, that bat is really heavy, right? And so his whole thing is that it's hard to do this. It's hard because you've earned this pressure of trying to swing this thing. And pressure is something that's earned, and it's a good thing, even if it makes things harder. Wow. And then, so they all do this all week long, and then they bring the bat everywhere, and then they bring it to the game, and they take all of the weights off the bat, and then all the guys on the team have to swing the bat before the game, and it's super light and easy to swing. This is some cult shit.
Yeah.
PJ Fleck.
That's kind of great. I did see part of his speech, and he had the diamond that he pulled out. He's like, this is what you make, the pressure and whatever. And he takes out like this big, you know, obviously fake diamond and shows everybody all cheer. I mean, you know, it's your audience is 18-year-old kids.
But this is also what coaches, even old fogey coaches, preach. Like, this is what Lou Holtz would preach. This is what John Wooden would preach. Like, the pressure wouldn't feel great if you weren't good. Right. Mm-hmm. If you're a bad team, there's no pressure. So to feel that outside force sort of looming the entire time, that's what you work for. That's mm-hmm. what you're trying to get to when you spend all those hours in the weight room in the off season, is to feel like,
oh, this matters.
This is going to be close.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's exactly the game. Those are the games. If you're not playing in those games, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right. Those are the games that every kid dreams of when you pretend like it's fourth down and you're Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady or whatever, and you're dropping back, throwing the Nerf football in your backyard, right? Those are these are the moments that all these kids want to play for. And I don't care if the old fogies don't like his public persona of row the boat, sky you ma, blah, 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 snake oil, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Results. Mm-hmm. Results, yeah, results. Results. Results.
All right. So I have a question for you guys. Okay. We're going to go back to the year 2000. I know your memory won't bring you right back to the year 2000. And maybe I missed some. So if the listeners, they love to correct me because I'm wrong quite often. They might be able to add some things that I missed. And maybe I'm missing something obvious. But I did my best to come up with a list of events, sports events in Minnesota that have happened since the year 2000. Okay. And I want you to tell me if this was a better sports moment than the things that I'm going to mention.
Ooh, I like this game.
Okay. So I'm going to start out with the Twins win game 163 against the Detroit Tigers to go to the playoffs. They won it in the 10th inning, I believe, and they...
And what year is this?
Oh, I don't know, a few years back, like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And they won game 163, an extra game, like an extra playoff game, to go to the playoffs. They won in walk-off fashion. Is this game a bigger moment and a bigger event in Minnesota sports history? I say yes. Really? I say Gophers.
Yeah, Gophers.
Oh, Gophers, yeah. Is bigger, yes.
Twins break the home run record this year.
That was fun. This is bigger.
Yeah. I think in terms of like bigger for the state and the sport with
cultural
which
impact.
Yes, yeah. I think the Gophers win.
Hockey comes back to Minnesota in the form of the Minnesota Wild.
That's pretty big. I would say that getting a professional sports team is bigger.
I would agree.
I think I'd agree, but it's yeah, no, I'm going to agree. The Wild make a run to the Western Conference Championship. They lose eventually to Anaheim. They get swept, but they get all the way to the Western Conference Finals.
I think that's bigger because they were so new, and this city was aching for like a competitive hockey team, and they got it. And they got it with like no superstars other than, like, I guess if you call Marian Gaborik a superstar at that point. I don't even know if he was playing in that because of injuries. I think if the Gophers run the table and then we play Ohio State for the Big Ten Championship, that would be equal in terms of impact.
Okay.
How about the Minnesota Timberwolves make a run to the Western Conference Finals? KG wins the MVP, and they get to the Lakers. They lose in six to the Lakers, but it was T-Hud. It was Sam Cassell. It was Latrell Sprewell, and obviously MVP Kevin Garnett.
For me, that was bigger.
I think that was bigger.
I think so, too. Next up, AP goes for 296, breaking the all-time single-game record.
The Gophers are bigger.
Yeah, but that was cool.
That's a nice list, dude. Nice work. A cool moment, and like not to be understated, but I think in terms of overall impact, the Gophers win was bigger.
How about Favre goes to Lambeau as a Vikings quarterback and dominates the pack?
That was awesome. I mean, that was big.
I think that might be better. that felt like we...
If we hated the Nittany Lions as much as we hate the Packers, we might put the Gophers first, but that was a pretty big deal.
That felt like your friend from Wisconsin had a hot mom and you took her on a date.
Yeah. You did more than that, but it went well. Yeah, man, I might go with them. You got to remember, this is a Vikings town.
AP locks up 2,000 yards and the playoffs for the Vikings
Gophers.
Against the Packers.
Gophers.
Ooh, I'm going AP 2,000 MVP season, and they beat the Packers to get into the playoffs.
I'll tell you why I don't like that one is because everyone ran out onto the field. Like, he broke the record for most rushing yards in a season, and he was short by like 12.
Yeah, he was short like 9 yards or something. All right, finally, the Minneapolis Miracle.
Minneapolis Miracle.
Yeah.
And it's not even close.
It's not close.
Especially because that was crazy. Fuck Sean Payton.
Yeah, it's not
fuck close. Sean Payton.
My point is just, though, that this is...
So what is it? Fifth?
Probably fifth biggest moment since 2000, something like that. But still, I mean, this is a huge moment. And I have to say that it felt so good to see our fans storm in the field. The whole field
Selling
covered...
Out, finally.
The whole field covered in maroon and... Like, it was on national television, and everyone saw Minnesota. Well, every guy who was at the game definitely commit to the Gophers.
Yeah. Well, not only that, they also did a really good job throughout the game of making it like a Alabama versus LSU kind of matchup, right? Where they were into it the whole time. They were cheering appropriately when Penn State was on offense. The quarterback, was having a hard time audibling and talking to his guys on the line. Like, they made it a legitimately intense college atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah. And that hasn't really happened yet. And let's hope that within the next couple years, this game feels like, do you remember that? That was cute. Look how good we are now.
Exactly.
And we consistently beat them. But with the history of the Gophers, it just makes it so fucking big. Like, this is the first real thing we've done in a long time.
In a long time. Yeah, so there you go. They play Iowa this week at Iowa. They're, I believe, 1-point underdogs or something like that.
Good.
Should be a really good game.
Keep
honestly,
it that way.
Should be a great game. I don't think Iowa's that great. A win this week should almost lock up the Big Ten West.
Is it Saturday? They play Saturday.
Yep. If we win the next two,
noon or something.
Which is Iowa, which will be tough, and then at Northwestern, which shouldn't be too tough. We win the Big Ten West before we even play Wisconsin. And that feels great. So
imagine at the beginning of the season where with 3 weeks to play, we got in, like, someone was like, you're going to have a scenario where you might actually get to dream about being undefeated and playing Ohio State for the Big Ten Championship.
We'd have been a trip undefeated playing them for the Big Ten Championship and with a spot in the
college football playoff on the line.
Possibly.
I know, we're getting ahead of ourselves. I'm not saying it's even likely.
But just even the remote possibility that dreaming about that is true.
Because, I mean, when we started the season, it was a 0%. Nobody would even give it a tenth of a percent.
Zero.
And now you kind of have to give it a percent.
Now you have to be like
1 or 2%. I don't know what it is, but...
I think that we have a... I think it's 50-50 that we go to there undefeated against Ohio State.
Well, here's the thing. We should beat Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? They're pretty good defensively at home,
mm-hmm.
but... If Tanner Morgan plays like he did this last week, then it's going to be 35-10. Like, that, mm-hmm. the game's over. Northwestern...
They stink. They're terrible.
They've scored 100 points in, like, 7 Big Ten games.
They're just terrible.
They're averaging 14 mm-hmm. points a game. Okay. Fine.
Okay.
Wisconsin is always going to be a crapshoot because...
And it's at home. It's going to be tough.
Regardless, yeah. if Wisconsin loses their next two games, they're going to get up for the Gopher game because of the axe and the border battle and the rivalry and whatever. And they would love to spoil... our perfect season. Like, nothing would mean more to them that even in their shitty season, they were able to spoil it for us. But we're still going to the Big Ten Championship. Probably going to get our butts kicked by Ohio State. But you never know, right? It's kind of a crazy game. But we would never have even thought, like, we're going to be 11-1 playing Ohio State for the Big Ten Championship. I mean, that's the thing that you dream of when you get a coach like PJ Fleck 3 seasons ago of, like, can he get us to that next level? Okay, now we're at that next level. How do we sustain this?
Yeah, I'm rowing the boat, guys.
I'm rowing.
I'm not tooting my own horn. I got chills just like talking about the possibility of us being like in contention for the Big Ten title every year. And we have respect like Michigan, Ohio State, you know what I mean? Like Wisconsin.
It should only get easier.
Yeah.
That's the idea. As long as our coach stays here, it should actually get easier to accomplish. We'll get better players.
All right, guys, it's time to talk about the Vikings. They're always...
I need a cigarette after that. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
They're always story A, except for this week. They're story B, even after a huge win against the Dallas Cowboys. They went 28-24 on Sunday Night Football, which is the biggest game of the week, against America's team on the road. Kirk Cousins gets his big win that's been so elusive for him. They moved to 7-3 through 10 games, which if we had the choice of being 7-3, even if we've been pissed about the 3 losses, this is a good Vikings team, and they're playing some of their very best ball at this point. That was a huge win for them yesterday. Even if the defense didn't play great, the offense is a juggernaut.
Well, and what's crazy is that the Packers game and the Kansas City game were both very winnable
mm-hmm.
at that point. I think if you're gonna look back on the season and say, gosh dang it, we really missed an opportunity. The Cousins would 1,000% want that throwback into the...
Don't we all?
Yeah, right. Or maybe Stefanski wants that play call back.
Yeah, no
shit. You
know,
maybe he's like, fuck, I put you in a horrible position. That should never have even happened. It was 1st and 2, and we had literally just run the ball 70 yards down the field. Maybe I shouldn't have... Maybe I should have remembered like the Pete Carroll call against the Patriots, you know, and been like, let's just run.
Yeah, nobody forgets that one either.
And then the Kansas City game, you know, defense kind of laid a little bit of an egg there. But I think we did a really good job of sort of putting those ghosts to rest against the Cowboys because that's a very losable game,
yeah.
right? You're on the road, tough environment. Like Eric said, it's
none
Jerry
of us here would have been shocked.
No.
I mean, none of us really could decide what was going to happen in the game when we did our predictions last week.
I thought we were going to lose.
Yeah, you said we were going to lose. I just couldn't decide. I said maybe we'd win by 3. I'm not even... I don't remember what I said or what
yeah,
you said.
Yeah, maybe I said like 5 or 6 or yeah. something like that. But and I was definitely like being overly optimistic.
What did we win by? 4?
Yeah, 28-24.
It's kind of cool that both of our teams this weekend won on interceptions in the end zone to ice it. That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Bend but not break at the end of the game. So
yeah.
This Vikings team, guys, I'm going to say it every week. I feel like I was right on the money. The offense is a top 5 offense, and the defense is the middle of the pack.
Seriously.
It really is.
It's actually problematic, and it's hard to watch as a Vikings fan because we're so used to a solid defense that it gets frustrating to watch the game.
Well, I think there are parts of the defense that are still solid. I don't think, like, just to paint it with a broad brush and say the defense is washed up, I don't think is accurate. I feel like our coverage of the wide receivers is significantly lacking. I think our defensive line and linebacker play is still pretty stout.
Oh, it's really good.
I think overall, that's the strongest part.
We dominated Zeke yesterday.
But coverage-wise...
Why couldn't we ever touch fucking Dak?
Well, I don't think they blitzed a lot. I mean,
we blitzed and couldn't do anything.
We did late, but early it was just they have a really good offensive line too.
They do. They're elite offensive line.
Okay. It's not taking away from our defensive front because they did get pressure on Dak at times.
A ton of it.
He's also a very mobile quarterback.
So Hunter had 9 pressures and Griffin had 7 pressures. So they were all over him, but they just couldn't get to him.
He was elusive, dude.
You can't just like it's okay. You can't just like send all out pressure on a guy like Dak because then he'll beat you with his legs. So there's something to be said about like, I'm not saying play conservative, but also like playing smart and maybe leaving your linebackers in a position to make a tackle if Dak decides he's going to take off running from the pressure. So I agree with Eric's assessment that there are definitely like significant weaknesses in Zimmer's defense that has not been there in like 3 years or 4 years. But in the same vein, and I know Waynes hasn't been very good. Rhodes has obviously been atrocious. You're starting Holton Hill, who is...
He only played 2 snaps, coverage yesterday.
But didn't he start,
Hughes. Hughes played big minutes, not Hill.
I saw Holton Hill. I thought he played a little started.
Bit. Hughes played a ton.
Who was playing for Waynes then?
Hughes. It was Mackenzie Alexander, Hughes, and Rhodes. And Hughes was targeted like 21 times.
Yeah. Rhodes was basically invisible because he was actually like kind of doing his job for the most part. Poor Hughesy was getting picked on a little bit. But he also hasn't played like a significant role like that.
Yeah.
And he's coming off of a knee injury and all that stuff.
It was a struggle.
So, he got pushed hard in the end zone. I know that. That was garbage.
Don't get me started on that fucking shit. I was so pissed off about that. They're like, yeah, we're going to look at this. Is it pass interference?
And they looked at it.
That he stuck out his arm and elbowed him out of the way. They're like, nah, that's fine.
Do you guys remember the worst call in the NFL this year, which is saying something, when the Vikings scored a touchdown against the Packers
and
they got called back for a pick play that they reviewed themselves without it being challenged, and they overturned the touchdown, which would have ended up in a tie game later in the game.
Yeah.
And no call like that has happened since.
Yep.
That was some bullshit.
They've literally overturned like 2 pass interference calls, and one of them was the Dalvin Cook pick, which was awful. So anyway, I don't know what the answer is to shoring up some of the coverage woes that we seem to be having.
Simplify.
Maybe that's it. And just go to like a straight zone. Don't even try and play man that often.
I think they're playing some complicated stuff out there for real. Like, I think this is a really, really complicated defense.
And Zimmer thought, because I got vets, I can do this crazy stuff. And we're just going to go to like 3 different coverages. And
the vets have lost a step. Even good players. Like, I know that their like rankings on PFF and some of the stats against them have been bad. But good players like Xavier Rhodes, like Trey Waynes, like... even Harrison Smith have lost a step. Even if they're still nice players, they're not the elite players that they were even 2 years ago. And the defense is suffering playing something really complicated. It didn't help that Amari Cooper was fantastic yesterday.
Really crazy.
And Dak Prescott was fantastic. He was great. He really was. He deserves praise because even when we made the right plays and the right calls, he moved around so well. He placed the ball so perfectly. It was a great test, and it was a really fun game to watch.
And like even that the touchdown catch by Cooper out of the side of the end zone, like Collinsworth said on the broadcast, that's 3 yards outside of the boundary. Like
it was crazy.
It's indefensible. Like there's no way to do that.
Yeah.
Even if you have the best coverage on earth, you're not knocking that ball down. But in the end, we made enough plays and we got the W.
So a couple things. Dalvin Cook he won't win the award, but he is a dark horse MVP candidate
at this point. Zeke, man. Looking way better than Zeke.
I think it's official that Dalvin Cook is officially the second best running back in football.
He was
and
running.
And McCaffrey's the best?
McCaffrey is one and Cook's 2.
Everybody over.
McCaffrey
had a tough
day.
You cannot arm tackle or bump into Dalvin or like just think you can pop him and he's going to fall over.
Dude,
the guy's
crazy.
Got crazy feet. He's
just
got
like
really good
takes
balance.
Takes like a half a step back and then zooms forward so fast that he's on to the next level.
And
it's nuts.
Yeah, his burst.
Every
like,
time you think
stop,
the play is dead, it's like, oh my God, he got 8 more yards. What just happened?
there were plays where they were on him in the backfield, and they're like, he got 4 yards out of that. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. So good on him.
All right, guys. Also, it's time for us to officially make the call to Minnesotans that we have to stop giving Kirk Cousins a hard time. He is our guy. He is our quarterback. He's here to stay. And he is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL officially. He is.
I want to re-sign Kirk Cousins.
I'm just going to jump ahead then, guys, because I have a question.
Now,
if you have to decide this minute to re-sign Cousins at the same...
I didn't know you had that written down. I apologize.
At the same wage for the next 3 years, beyond next year, so 4 more years, you have to decide in this moment whether he's a free agent after next year or we keep him for 3 more years. What are you doing?
How old is he? 32?
He's 31 right now. So he would be 33, 34, and 35.
I say re-sign him.
I say re-sign him too.
And I don't even think it's close.
I don't think it's close either. I don't think it's even close. Like,
what are we going to roll it up with, like Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah. Or what are you going to do?
Take a chance on it? I mean, I guess it depends on like who we would draft. But at that point, like,
can we sign him and draft a quarterback? There's no point to do that, right?
No point. If you're going to sign him at that money, you just got to be like, fuck it. We'll draft a quarterback after his second or third year.
I mean, or you could draft a QB in like the 7th round and pray to God that he has anything.
I mean, he really is, though, a top 10 quarterback. Right now, 538 has him as their 10th ranked quarterback.
Here's the question. Would you rather have Jared Goff at his price or Kirk Cousins at his price?
Cousins, yeah. Not
Cousins
close.
For sure. Absolutely. That,
but look at what a horrible position the Rams are in now. Like, Goff is bad. He's bad.
I'd want to take a flyer, man. You might get like a Lamar Jackson or something that can just like literally change your entire.
So here's the guys that 538 has above him. Okay,
you got to get lucky. You can't just be like pretty good and win Super Bowls.
They have Mahomes. They have Jackson. They have Watson. They have. I can't think of who the other guy would be in that one.
In what?
Brady. They have those as the four in the AFC. In the NFC, they have him behind Rodgers. Behind Breeze, behind Matt Ryan, behind Dak Prescott, behind Wilson. Mm-hmm. I believe that's it. I mean, they have him as the 10th guy behind all the very elite guys.
And arguably, I'd put him ahead of Prescott. But
and they have him on Pro Football Focus as their 9th-ranked quarterback. So between the two analytic sites there that I just mentioned, have him at 9 and 10. He is a top 10 quarterback. And guys, I have some stats for you today. To back it up, are you ready for this?
Everyone loves hearing stats on a podcast.
No, these are good though. I think you're gonna like these. So I compared him to years 27 through 31, the ages that he's played as a starting quarterback, versus years 27 through 31 of Matt Ryan.
Okay,
and we all think of Matt Ryan as a good quarterback.
Especially when he was at that age or right after.
He was up 28-3 in a Super Bowl that he eventually lost. But, I mean, he was that caliber of a quarterback. He won an MVP award, I believe. So, in the same age group that Cousins finished his career with the Redskins and started his career with the Vikings, Matt Ryan had a 52.5% win percentage, Kirk Cousins 51.5%, 1% lower. Completion percentage, Cousins is 67.7%, Matt Ryan 67.6%. 0.1 difference. Okay. Cousins is above. Touchdown percentage, both of them are at 4.8. Interception percentage, Cousins is at 2, Ryan 2.2. So he's less. Cousins is better.
And that's a big difference there.
Yards per attempt, Matt Ryan 7.7, Kirk Cousins 7.6. Yards per game, this is the biggest difference. Matt Ryan 293, Cousins 268. And quarterback rating, Cousins 97.1, Matt Ryan 97.1.
Damn.
Matt
Ryan, they are the same person.
And Kirk Cousins are the same quarterback in the prime of their careers.
Except Kirk Cousins never played with Julio Jones for 8 years.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
We have Matt Ryan as our quarterback. It's just Matt Ryan who the entire state hates for no reason.
Because he made $30 million.
It's the optics. It's the optics on when he loses and how he loses.
Sure, but Matt Ryan loses big games too. He was up 28-3 in the Super Bowl.
He loves to throw a pick. Like
in a brutal
game-winning drive, he throws picks.
He does. In the red zone, he throws picks.
Or even in that Philadelphia game when Philly ended up beating him, he threw that horrible ball to Julio Jones in the back of the end zone. And they ended up losing. And then obviously we lost to Philly and the rest is history. But
yeah, so to me... That's where we need to think of Cousins. Cousins is Matt Ryan, And Matt Ryan is a fucking good quarterback.
Okay.
And Cousins is a good quarterback too. He is. And for some reason, we hate him here in Minnesota. We think he's overpaid, and we're so mad every single time.
Okay. All right. You've convinced me.
I will say,
let's sign him up, baby.
I will sign.
End of the year, we'll talk again.
One thing is that I think because of Twitter and quote unquote social media in general, the dissenting voices, for whatever reason, because they cause controversy or it's clickbait or whatever, feel like they have this larger audience than they really should. Versus, I think there are a lot of rational Vikings fans that do feel like Kirk Cousins is a pretty good QB with some major flaws.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone is like, well, Vikings Nation is upset on Twitter today because Cousins sucked another dick against a good team. When in reality, like most Vikings fans probably think, like, you know, he had a pretty good game and we lost to Kansas City. Not his fault. Defense didn't play as well as they could. They had opportunities to win. Say what you want, but Cousins, you know, had a decent game or whatever. You know, we wouldn't be where we were going into that game without Kirk Cousins, you know, having Kirktober, you know, having a phenomenal month. So I feel like the hate is a little more amplified undeservedly because of social media, because that's what sells stupid talking points and clicks on websites. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sign me up for another 3 years.
Couple of last questions here for you guys. MVP of the game. Who are you guys going with?
Can I go with Rudy?
Ooh, yeah.
I mean,
I kind of want to throw Rudy in there. Because
he had 14 yards receiving, but he had two touchdowns. And
one of them was like a miracle.
Two great touchdowns, a big time first down. He had a great game. His stats weren't even that
great.
Plus,
he had like done nothing all year. And so just for the shock factor, I'm going to give it to him.
I mean, I think it's Dalvin Cook. But I also think that the Rudolph two-point conversion catch ended up being a lot bigger in the overall scope of the game than you think. Because if they just kick the field goal there, then it's only a three-point game mm-hmm. when it comes down to Dallas's last drive. And that completely changes the dynamic of what they're trying to do.
Totally, yeah.
As opposed to, like, we need a touchdown
here. I mean, they probably would have been able to tie it up, I think, at that point, yeah.
They got one of the best kickers in the league. Yeah. He's kicking from 60. Like, it doesn't matter. And there's a chance that that goes in. And then we're going to overtime, and it's going to be with 32 people in the back of
which
the end
zone. Which is scary enough.
Scary enough, but realistically, the odds of that, you know, play working or slim to none. I'd rather have that than having one of the best kickers in the league kicking a 57-yard field goal.
Yep.
Right? So, I'm going to go Dalvin Cook, but I love the Rudolph pick.
Willing to give Cook the greatest running back in team history over guys like Chuck Foreman and Robert Smith and some other Vikings greats. So, Dalvin Cook was insane in this game, and he dominated Ezekiel Elliott in a battle of great running backs.
Yep. That was fun.
Next up, we have Denver. I believe we're like 12-point favorites at home. Denver's starting a quarterback named Allen, who I've never heard of. If I had to guess what college he went to with a gun to my head, I would die. And
wait a minute, though. Should we pretend that we're on like radio instead of a podcast? And I'm going to say, trap game. What's a trap? Because it's a classic trap game.
It's a trap game if you're a better.
Okay.
It's a trap game if you're going to take the 12 points.
Agree.
Because that's a fucking ton of points and a great defense that Denver has. But their offense is horseshit. Philip Lindsay is the best player on their offense. I've never heard of their quarterback. I don't know what year he is in the pros. I don't know where he went to college. He's a disaster. Vikings win this game 31-13.
If I gave you $100 to say he went to Appalachian State or Colorado State, which one would you pick?
I'd pick Colorado State, but I don't feel
like if I said it was Appalachian State, you'd be like, well, that's probably true.
Yeah.
I don't have any clue. I'm just throwing out like two random small colleges.
I'm going Vikings 31-13.
It might even be worse than that.
I'll go 28. 28-14.
I'm going to say 42-9.
Ooh, I love it.
It's an absolute drubbing.
Okay. Let's hope so.
So we end up losing by 10. Perfect.
this game. Guy was his name is Brandon Allen, and he was the quarterback at Arkansas.
Okay, so he was at a decent program.
School, but
except their coach just got fired for being like going 10-28 in his first four seasons or something like that.
Yeah, they stink. I'm not afraid. If we lose this game, we don't deserve to go to the playoffs. And like I said, we already lost to Matt Moore and Chase Daniel. So if we lose to Brandon Allen, like that would be the trifecta of shit, and we don't deserve to go to the playoffs.
Okay.
Finally, quickly. Extra time. Liverpool, best team in the world, defeats Man City in a battle of 1-2 in the Premier League. The game was a little sketchy with some of the VAR calls and non-calls.
So you thought the Salah goal was, he was offsides?
No, I'm even fine with that. I'm fine with that. It was some handball stuff that was a little sketchy in the game. I don't care.
It wasn't blatant or intentional. It was like a high shoulder situation. I mean, get over it.
I do think you were kind of sketchy, and if I was a City fan, I would have been pissed.
Oh, yeah, but you're not. But, so it should be more down the middle and just be like, all right, that's how it goes.
I think as a neutral in the game, I thought City got fucked. But Liverpool...
You're thinking like an Arsenal fan, which is like, how did we get screwed here?
But Liverpool locked up the title. It is over. It's over.
Stop.
It's game over. If you're a Premier League fan and you're like, why don't they have playoffs? Why is it already over? This is the kind of year that you might have a point because the season is done. It is November. It's not even November 15th.
It's not done.
And Liverpool...
You've said this many times.
But how many points are they up?
A lot.
No,
they're up like seven.
Six or seven points, and they have not lost a game since like...
Eric, who cares?
You can't say 6 points is the title is over.
Mm-hmm. You don't think that Liverpool could draw a couple games they shouldn't?
Can someone tell me the last time they lost a game?
They don't lose. I'm not.
They don't lose games. Them. They might. They haven't lost a game. They haven't lost a game in like a calendar year.
Dude, they
year.
Haven't beaten somebody better than them this year.
Right, but they hadn't lost
because they're the best.
they hadn't lost a game a lot last year, but you drew a bunch of matches that you shouldn't have, and it ultimately ended up costing you the title.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Leicester or Chelsea or City are going to win it definitively. But you can't say a 6-point lead is safe.
Too.
You can't always say a 6-point lead is safe.
That's what I'm saying. Dude, it's like 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I guess, City had like a 16-point lead almost at this time, didn't they? And that was shitty.
That was done.
That was done. That's done. Okay, fine.
6 points is not done.
And plus, they were so dominant and everybody else was average. This is like, we have three great teams here. And after that, yes, it is definitely a steep drop-off.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Eric, but it's true.
But the match itself, I think was fun. And it depends on Liverpool's schedule the rest of the way. But let's also keep in mind, you have a lot of football left to play, which means you've got FA Cup, you've got Champions League, which you're expected to go long into the season on, right? This isn't just going
to
be like...
They have to give it everything like they got, Chelsea's game, all the starters need to be out there.
Chelsea's praying to every god imaginable just to make it to the knockout stage. Liverpool is basically in, and they're not going to lose their first round. Like, so they're going to at least play four more matches in the knockout stage of the Champions League.
They have back-to-back games in December. It's like the 17th and 18th. They have to play entirely two different squads. One of them is like, oh God, I don't even know what kind of cup it is, but
the Carabao Cup?
Is that one? Is that what it is? Yeah, I don't know, but they're busy. They're busy.
Which is detrimental to your league standings because you're going to put a little more emphasis on winning trophies. Maybe you don't care about the FA Cup or the Carabao Cup, and maybe Klopp is like, fuck it, we're just going to play mostly backups,
maybe,
and we're going
to
focus on Champions.
Can I tell you guys why that Liverpool has wrapped it up?
Sure.
In the last 2 years, they've lost four times in the Premier League. Let me go through when they are.
But hold on. But they also didn't win the title last season.
Yeah, that's true.
That's because they drew against shitty teams. They drew against like Southampton and Brighton Hove, like at home. Like these are matches that shouldn't have taken place for them. Mm-hmm. And they lost by a point.
In the last season, they lost one time. So the last loss they had in the Premier League was January 3rd against Man City. They're going on a year almost of games that they haven't been beaten in the Premier League. I mean, they're a dominant team.
If they were up 15 points right now, I would say it's probably over.
Also, you can say what you want, but the last 15 games of last year, they had zero draws and one loss.
Yeah, it was at the beginning of the season. We already talked about that many times.
Beginning of last season.
Yes.
The beginning of two seasons. Like, they just don't even draw games. Like they're like an invincible team at this point. I think it's over. I think the top four might be wrapped.
Oh my God.
I think it's wrapped. I think Leicester, Chelsea are fighting for third and
what
fourth.
What is it that you guys like with, you're really reasonable with all other sports. You
I
understand
didn't say
things
any of
can
this.
Happen. You've been guilty of this too, where you guys get wrapped up in this idea that everything is settled and decided ahead of time with soccer more so than other leagues.
What odds would you
have
to take?
And I know it's Eric Moore because of the Twitter. His Twitter warps his mind.
I just gave the very pragmatic take that
this
is not over.
Would you bet $100 right now to win $200 that Liverpool doesn't win the title?
No.
Is it my money or your money?
Your money. $100 to win $200. That Liverpool doesn't win the title.
Well, if I'm betting $100 on Liverpool to not win the title, my odds better be better than that.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I'm asking you what the odds are.
But you're saying it's locked up, and those odds...
What would the odds have to be? 100 to win 300?
Yeah, I'd probably take
that. Yeah,
we're talking. I'd definitely take that.
So, plus
I'd take that
300.
And just be psyched when I have to pay somebody $100 because we won. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, so I'm just saying the Premier League is... not full of good teams. There's a couple really good teams in it. Liverpool looks like an absolute
juggernaut.
Where's
Arsenal compared to Sheffield United?
They're below them by a point, and okay. They lost to them. But again, would you, you know, you could say that about the most expensive team in the league, Man United and Spurs as well.
Oh, fuck Spurs.
Yeah.
Get them out of here. Can we write them off?
Who? Spurs?
Can we cross them off?
Probably not.
Like we did? Cross them off.
Probably not. I mean, it's just like injuries.
We haven't done that in a while, have we? That was a good segment.
Yeah, I know. We'll have to do that next week. Yeah, I want to cross off like 17 games.
We can catch up with a lot of them.
All right, guys. I think that's all the time we have this week for the sportscast. We'll be back with a screencast later this week. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed this one. And as always, Nordy's Podcast coming to you guys free of charge twice a week, every single week, all 2019. Until later this week, thanks for listening to the Nordy's Podcast.